welcome to episode 10 of The Tangles, official companion podcast beneaththetangles.com. I'm your host, JP, known affectionately, or not, online as Japes and Japesland. Today we have a very different episode in store, as I announced last week, I am currently in the land of Nippon, Japan. In case you're wondering why it sounds like I'm walking through the middle of the mountains, that is because I am currently walking through the middle of the mountains. For today's episode, I'll be recording on my walk from my apartment here in Kanazawa, on the top of a mountain, actually kind of in the middle of nowhere, to the closest grocery store, which is about a 35-minute walk. I think it's about 4 or 5 kilometers, maybe a little less, I don't remember. So before I get started to talking about Japan anime and spirituality, though, it's time for this month's announcements. I have two for everyone this month. Number one, we'd like to remind our Tangles listeners and readers that not only do we welcome questions to our podcast email, thetangles@outlook.com, and to our Twitter and Facebook pages, we also have a page dedicated to asking the staff questions. Just highlight the About section of the site's main menu and select Ask the Staff. Additionally, for the remainder of my time in Japan, Frank, or StarDF29, will be covering my bi-weekly column Anime Today. I look forward to seeing what he has in store for us, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well. Thanks, Frank, for what you've already done in it, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer. With that out of the way, it's time for Otaku Diet.
Otaku Diet.
Now, obviously, as I am in Japan, I am a little bit busy. But also, obviously, because I'm in Japan, I have been trying to make use of my time here as best I can while still indulging my otaku habits. So, right off the bat, in some of my free time, I have managed to get down to the main shopping area of Kanazawa, known as Korinbo. I'm going to take a quick break here. Just to mention, I am still kind of in the middle of the mountains, but I'm currently walking by a very nice little shrine called Hachiman Jinja. Student just drove by going back to the university where my apartment is. There are shrines everywhere of just about every size. Kanazawa, the city where I am, is very old, very historic, and was not bombed during World War II, which in turn means that many of the historic locations in the area, the shrines, the temples, the onsen, are still completely intact. I apologize for all of the noise. I think some people are returning to their apartments just about now. Anyways, back to what I was saying. I managed to get down to Korinbo, and I found... Okay, so first of all, Japanese shopping complexes are very compact and somewhat confusing. I found on the second and third levels of a shopping area, an area with lots of anime goods. Indulged my window shopping a bit while I was there. Unfortunately, everything is extremely expensive here when it comes to anime. I found some nice little Fates Day Night keychains that I really liked. They were just these tiny little plastic things in 800 yen, which is about $8. A little less, actually, the exchange rate, but more or less. So, I had a chance to check all of that out, which was fun. Amidst all of that, I've also been trying to keep up with a few anime online as best I can. Right now, I think my highlight of the season is Ore Monogatari, or My Love Story. It's kind of maybe dragging on a tiny bit now, but it's probably one of the best shoujo I've ever seen. I would say, anyway. Besides that, I've been really enjoying Kinyo Mosaiku, or Golden Mosaic, which is an adaptation of a 4-coma. And it is pretty cute and pretty hilarious. StarDF, I already forgot the number at the end. Frank already wrote about it for Anime Today, and I know he likes it as well. Highly recommended. Watching several others, but those two are kind of the highlight of the season. I guess Fate Stay Night is starting to pick up again, finally, but I don't want to drag on since I'm the only one talking right now. Monologues are a little bit monotonous. So I will move on to the main topic at hand today, which is my time here in Japan, how that interacts with Beneath the Tangle's goal of finding the intersection of spirituality and otaku culture. So, for those of you who don't know, Japan has a very unique spiritual state, if you want to call it that. The country is about you could say 1% Christian, proclaimed Christian anyway, self-proclaimed. The other 99% they cover several other religions, but they're more or less a mixture of Buddhism, native Shinto, and atheism. And you can be, honestly, you can be all three of those things at the same time. It's a little bit complicated and probably the subject for another podcast. Also, podcast when I'm not trying to figure out where I'm going. Speaking of which, I should probably check my map. One second. Okay, I'm still going the right direction. I'm only a couple minutes down and I already don't know where I'm going. I wish this was a video podcast. I would show you how beautiful this walk is. I just wish it wasn't so far away from civilization. Anyways, moving on. That being said about the spiritual state of Japan, my experience here has been very, very interesting, to say the least. I have a church here called Kanazawa Kiristo Kyokai. The English name is actually Kanazawa Baptist Church. They also have another church that meets in the same building called Kanazawa International Baptist Church. And it's an overlap of the same congregation with some additional members that come from other churches that are all, for the most part, native English speakers. The main draw of KIBC, as they call it, is that they offer the service in English. Now, I normally go to the morning service, which is in Japanese, but I understand almost none of it. I've been studying Japanese for a long time, but when you get to a country where they actually natively speak the language you're studying, it is totally different from personal studies. I can tell you that from experience right now. That said, I still enjoy it. It's good language practice for me, and I get to know people. Another interesting tidbit about Christianity in Japan is that churches are very small, and because of that, they have a very familial atmosphere, you might say. Now, they range, most of them are very formal feeling because of the influence of their early missionaries, but they're very tight-knit, and at least my experience has been they're very welcoming. One thing that just about every single church, actually every single church I've been to does this, is after the service, they eat lunch together. And it's usually, depending on the size of the church, on a really, really small church, the responsibility for preparing that lunch rotates. However, Kanazawa Baptist Church, which is, by American standards, very small, but by Japanese standards, quite large. Actually, it's, I think, the largest church in the area here, with probably about 30, maybe 40, but probably around 30 attendees on any given Sunday. Maybe 40, including KIBC. But because they have that, and they also own their own yotien, which is a kindergarten, they have the resources to provide udon noodles every single week, completely free, for all of the members. So, me being an unpaid intern here on a very tight budget, very pragmatically speaking, it is extremely helpful getting free udon every week. And it's really nice getting to meet new people at the church over lunch, when it's a little bit more natural just to have casual conversation. And also, to be able to develop relationships with other people you've met there. Now, this has not been super helpful for my Japanese skills, but I've already developed some pretty healthy friendships with other internationals at Kanazawa Kiristo Kyokai. We've actually hung out on a number of occasions afterwards on Sundays, just exploring Kanazawa together, or even some some other events that aren't on Sundays. And it's really nice. It's there are American churches like this, of course, too. But it's a nice change of pace for me, who someone very used to an enormous megachurch atmosphere where that's just not possible. Okay, so I need to take a quick look at where I am and how do I get where I need to go. There is no shoulder here. So, okay, we're just going to wing it. I'm walking next to a fence that says, Tachiri Kinshi, which means no entry. I think it might be the self-defense force land property. That's the Japanese military, in case you're unaware. Anywho, as I'm walking on this very narrow street with cars zooming by me and fearing for my life, back to Christian culture here. One very nice thing I had happen to me was we had a weekend where the university where I'm working, all of the professors and most of the students were sent on this kind of weekend retreat. And this retreat was, I believe, covered by the school, most likely by tuition, so they were paying for it anyway. But they did not have the budget to send me, the unpaid intern. So I had nothing to do. That said, my supervisor here asked me what I was doing, and I said I wasn't sure yet. I had plans to call a friend from the church. And he took that as make plans for me. So he called the pastor, who's a very busy man, I might add. He's the president of the Japan Baptist Convention. He is also the president, or the principal, of the kindergarten attached to the church. And he's also on the board for some sort of big education committee for Japan. So, very busy man. Sorry, I'm checking my map again. Anyway, he took a day completely out of his schedule and actually took me out for almost an entire day. Treated me to several meals, three meals actually, and some snacks. I apologize again for the noise. Kind of comes with the territory of walking along a road like this. Anyways, this kind of hospitality I'm getting here, well, this is actually another topic I talk about a lot. At the university where I'm working, they have a number of hospitality classes because many of the students have a focus on working in the hospitality industry. I should probably get to the other side of the street. I just realized that there is a sidewalk on the other side of the street. I'm walking on the side that doesn't have one. All right. One second. I'm going to run across. Okay. I'm alive. Hopefully still walking in the right direction. I'm not sure, actually. I'm going to check my map again. Stop for a second here. Wow, that was a loud car. Curving to the left. Aha! I am going the right direction. Good. Alright. Back to where I was. A lot of hospitality classes, so they've asked me to talk, guest speak, in some of the classes about the difference between American and Japanese hospitality. I'm trying to remember. Otomenashi? Omotenashi? I can't remember the word. I'm feeling dyslexic right now. Anyways, one thing I've noticed here is that there are pros and cons to Japanese hospitality, but Japanese hospitality, once they're taking care of you, you are completely taken care of. Now, getting into the graces of a Japanese person for them to do that is more difficult. My understanding is the Japanese mentality is, if you're in charge of something, you bear full responsibility for it. This is why homestays in Japan for long term are so much more difficult to obtain. Because when the Japanese think homestay, they think they're basically temporarily adding a member to the family who will eat meals with them, go to events with them. In the United States, homestays are more or less like, here are the keys, here's the fridge, here's your room, Dinner's at 6. You have much more freedom and flexibility that way. But you don't have that sense of being kind of a family. It's cars. A famous Japanese psychiatrist named Takeo Doi, I believe, wrote a famous book in the 70s called Amae, The Structure of Dependence. Excuse me, Amae, The Anatomy of Dependence. In this book, he outlined some of that, where the Japanese stress upon Amae, which is kind of that infant type of love where you're completely dependent upon someone, almost selfishly so. Now, because they acknowledge that concept so highly, the Japanese greatly admire having it. Sorry, I'm going to have to continue this in a second. I am at a crucial turn on my journey, and I think this is the right way. That it? I think this... All right, we're going to try it. We shall find out if this was right in a moment. And I will let you know. Anyways, they acknowledge this concept. And that's often why they're so overly polite, you might say. Because they acknowledge that they don't have Amae. However, whenever you're in the good graces of someone in a family setting or something, it's something to be reached for. Anyways, super long explanation and commentary on the Japanese psyche. Just to say that when you're finally given an opportunity to be a part of this family, you might say, it's something you shouldn't take for granted. And I, now being on the receiving end of it, understand why. This man who is super busy every single day of his life, basically, took an entire day out for me. Not only that, but he paid probably the equivalent of, gosh, probably more than $100, maybe even more, just for one day. And that's when my living budget is $10 a day. In fact, when I'm doing well, my budget's $4 a day for everything. That's why right now I'm not taking the bus. In any case, apologize for ranting for so long. It's amazing to see this different mentality here in Japan than in the United States. Okay, I'm taking another turn. I don't know if this was definitely not the correct direction. Yep, I went the wrong way. We'll make it work. I can see where I did not turn correctly. And I shall fix it. Anyways, it's kind of encouraging you. A lot of times when you hear about Christianity in Japan, especially from Christians, they paint it a very dark picture. And sure, the acceptance rate is not very high, but the people who are here are just so genuine. Maybe that's the right word for it. Okay. Here we go. I definitely went the wrong way, but I am on the right track now. Anyways, let's move on to another topic. So my duties here at the university, through my job, I've kind of discovered that Japan has a very false image abroad. A lot of people, well, I don't know, I can only speak for myself. When I think of Japan, or at least maybe a couple of years ago when I thought of Japan, I thought of technologically advanced, very organized, and one of the driving countries for advancing world culture, almost, if you want to say that. When you get here, you realize that Sure, many of those things are true, but it is simultaneously a very disorganized and almost archaic country. Some of it's really interesting when, like I mentioned before, I passed a shrine, literally right next to the university. Who even knows how long it's been there? I don't know the history of it. And because of that almost archaic nature of the country, you have interesting preservable culture like that. But on the same hand, you also have modern businesses that are completely reliant upon hard copy paper documents and fax machines. It makes life, honestly, a little bit difficult when you come from a country like the United States that just completely, wholeheartedly adopts new technology. And even things like email. Email is hugely used here, of course, but they still much prefer having hard copies of things. That's just one example. And obviously, everyone's different. Every city's a little bit different. Kanazawa is kind of out in the boonies, one might say. And that makes it especially privy to this kind of cultural difference. Sorry. Tired walking a while. I think I'm getting close to my next turn. Anyways, I learned that through my job. Speaking of which, my job here is more or less... Well, I came here thinking I was going to be mostly an ALT, which means assistant language teacher. And that's true, I am an assistant language teacher. However, I discovered that I'm also a student and also a tourist. And they basically were expecting that of me, which I didn't realize. So, the other thing, too, which goes hand in hand with the disorganization I've discovered, is that I had no schedule when I got here. I had to create my own job description, almost. Now, part of that is because I'm the first one of this internship position here at this school. The forerunner. But some of it's the nature of the country, too. Some of it's also the nature of the personality of the people who are kind of heading at my position. Okay, I think this is the turn I need to take. Okay, we're gonna go for it. Apologize for the wind. Anyways, moving on. My weeks have been very, very full. In some ways, I think that's... Goodness, I don't know where I'm going. Yeah, this has got to be it. My weeks and weekends have been very full. But not just direct job-related duties, just everything. Like, during the day, I'll be helping out in classes, or I'll be auditing some classes. And then during free time, I'll be studying Japanese, or I'll be working on preparing for other classes. And afterwards, I am getting ready to go to bed, or making my own food, or preparing for other classes. And then after that, church-related activities, people planning on going, visiting different places in Kanazawa. It's very full. I have time to keep up with some of my hobbies, of course, and I think I might be able to, once my schedule gets a little bit more nailed down, develop some more time to indulge my hobbies a little bit more, but it's been difficult. But that's kind of the nature of the country. Japan has such a workaholic atmosphere. It's the people who are really good at their jobs also are never not doing their jobs. They have no personal lives. Their lives are their jobs. There's one teacher here, I won't say it by name, but she is amazing. She is absolutely amazing at what she does. But she's at the school until 8 p.m. almost every single day. And when she gets home, she still has emails to answer. I mean, it's a different lifestyle from the United States, and I came here knowing that, but still, seeing it in person, it's no longer a surprise how people can work themselves to death here. Now, moving on to maybe some more positive topics. I have had a lot of time to go sightseeing on a specific weekend. Speaking of which, actually, I just stumbled across a little Buddhist graveyard here. Take a quick peek while I'm stopping by. I've never been here before. So. Kanazawa. Kanazawa is a very old city, as I mentioned, but it's not a huge city. It's about, I think, maybe 500,000 people, so sizable enough to have a downtown bustling shopping district, but it's so far out of the way in Japan, and previously so difficult to get to, that they had very little tourism, which is a huge draw to many rustic cities like this. Recently, and in fact just 2 months ago, I think, they finished the Shinkansen here, a brand new Shinkansen, which means bullet train, that goes from Tokyo, all the way here to Kanazawa, and then several other cities in between as well, of course. That has brought in a swath of new tourists, and hopefully will bring even more in the future. Unfortunately, the problem they're running into now is Kanazawa only has a handful of popular tourist destinations, which means tourists come for the day and then they leave. Just today, I was with a class. I was doing some field work looking for the most popular gaijin spots, is what they called them. Gaijin means foreigner. It's actually a slightly derogatory term, but usually used in jest. My experience, anyway. I'm going to keep moving. Oh, there's another little grave spot here. Wow, they're everywhere. Even some recently left offerings. I think that's a Coke. Someone left a Coke as an offering. Oh, Japan. Anyways, so I realized when we were doing this field work that at those couple popular tourist destinations, or our gaijin spots, there are a lot of gaijin. I'm thinking there's a garden here called Kenrokuen, which is listed as one of the top three gardens in all of Japan. And I've gone one time so far. I'd like to go again. It is absolutely stunning. And when I went, there were quite a number of foreigners, too. Not as many as in the Tokyo area, of course, but more than I expected at first. There's also Kanazawa-jo, which is Kanazawa Castle. A lot of chaya, which are these old tea shop districts with geisha and other popular Japanese cultural items. And some old samurai homes. There's a temple called Ninjidera. Oh, that's the casual name, anyway. I visited it one time, and it's very interesting. But again, there aren't... Like, I've listed most of the popular tourist destinations already, and there's not enough to keep someone here for a long amount of time. So when we were going around, we didn't go to those popular spots. We went to other shopping areas that we thought might be gaijin spots. And no gaijin. Almost none. The entire place. Because, presumably, people only stay here for a day. They don't make a big trip out of it. This is not the final destination. This is, we're in Japan, let's go visit Kanazawa for a day. Get the spots out of the way, and then head back to Tokyo. Or Kyoto. Or whatever city is their actual destination. So while I'm here, my business mind is kicking in. Trying to think of ways that we can encourage more people to come. And of course then, there's mixing in the Christian aspect of that. Like, if we can get more people to come, how can we get them plugged in to, say, Kanazawa International Baptist Church, get an experience with an English service in a Japanese church, and a community that they wouldn't find elsewhere. So, it's interesting having all this floating around in my mind, but it's been a good experience so far. All things considered. I was originally talking about my my free time, what I was doing, and I ended up talking about what I'm actually doing as part of my job here, but it's okay. As I mentioned before, I went to a nice little otaku shop. It was interesting. It's the first one I've been to in Japan. Last year I came to Japan, but different context. And, oh, there's a little... Oh, sorry. I found a tiny little path in the side of the mountain. I have no idea where it goes. I'm not going to go this time, but maybe next time I take a walk down, I'll visit. Crazy. Japan is all this kind of stuff everywhere. Anyways, I visited the shop. I said everything was expensive. It was fun looking around, but man, two things that make it very difficult to shop for otaku goods in Japan. First of all, ridiculously expensive. Second of all, there's porn everywhere. Here's another Buddhist graveyard, and I'm walking through the middle of some rice paddies. Man, so pretty. Wish I could show you video, just audio. Anyway, so I had to keep a watchful gaze on what I was looking at. Because, let's see, for example, I was looking at a little Kinido Mosaiku Golden Mosaic manga. And it was 800 yen, which was pretty reasonable. And I thought about buying it. And then, literally, right next to this cute, completely innocuous manga was this giant poster of a naked anime girl in a seductive pose. And I'm like, what the heck? This is, so foreign to me that they can have something like this completely uncovered. And, you know, I wasn't like, my first gut reaction wasn't like, oh my gosh, this is a terrible place, I'm never coming back. It's understanding the culture is completely different, which it is. You have to have that mindset when you're here. But it's still something you just, you don't quite believe it until you see it, I guess. At least if you're coming with a mindset that you don't want to see those kinds of things. Anyways, I've been ranting on for far too long about all of these random topics. Next month, Charles, who's been on several of our episodes, the founder and editor of Beneath the Tangles, and I are going to be conducting a little bit of an interview, talking about my experiences here, even maybe things that aren't even exactly related to that. But with that said, I would love it if some of our listeners and readers could submit some questions. Now, obviously, we will kind of think of some ourselves, things that we think that everyone would want to hear. I don't know if anyone wants to actually hear me talk anymore. This has been ridiculous. Oh, bird. Urusai. Shut up. Anyways, if you are interested in asking a question for the podcast for next month, or maybe even the month after, we'll see, I'll be here for two more months here in Japan, feel free to shoot us a question at thetangles@outlook.com, or of course, the Twitter page of Beneath the Tangles, which is at Anime Tangles, or Charles' Twitter, at The Tangles, or my Twitter, at Japesland, or our Facebook page, or our Ask the Staff page on the website. Apologize, I'm lost a little bit. I'm gonna check my map. In any case, that about wraps up this episode of The Tangles. I know it was very short, but because it's just me, I don't want to bore everyone with my monotonous voice. If you'd like to read more of our work, be sure to check out beneaththetangles.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next month for The Tangles.
Thanks for listening to this month's episode of The Tangles, official companion podcast to beneaththetangles.com. Be sure to check out our full site for more articles and analyses on the intersection of otaku culture and faith. If you would like to submit a question, send an email to thetangles@outlook.com. Also, be sure to follow our Twitter, @AnimeTangles, and like our Facebook page, Beneath the Tangles, and rate and review The Tangles on iTunes. Featured opening and closing songs are Japanese Dream by Duke Ellington's Orchestra and Blue Piano Stomp by Johnny Dodds, available in the public domain. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next time for The Tangles.